You're listening to Dauber Prospects Radio, episode 15. We are talking prospects who have turned pro in the last couple weeks, and we are going to pick the brain of goaltending guru Justin Goldman. So let's get started. Hey everybody, Paul Zwombeck here. Welcome to episode 15 of Dauber Prospects Radio, the best and only fantasy hockey program dedicated to hockey prospects. The DPR show is produced every other week for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at dauberprospects.com. Come back often and feel free to subscribe to our show on iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter at @DPR_show or email us at prospectradio@dauberprospects.com. I am with my co-host, Peter Harling, managing editor of dauberprospects.com. Peter, are you enjoying the CHL playoff hockey so far?
Yes, I am, because I'm out of my fantasy playoffs. You get the best of both worlds, though, don't you?
That's right. I get to sit and watch some CHL hockey and tune into my DPFHL finals against my arch nemesis, St. Louis.
Yeah. How's that going for you?
He is currently up 9-6. He leads in the categories far too much that I don't think I can come back on him. But there are a couple that, if something fluky happens, some shorthanded points, some power play points come around, some game-winning goals, I might be able to turn around. I've got the goalie stats locked down. Too bad there's only four of them. But yeah, my goalie trio of Talbot, Price, and Murray are pretty dead set. I pretty much win every week with those three guys. So I just need my offense to come around.
Well, if it's any consolation, after our initial draft was finished, I looked at the rosters, and St. Louis, Matt Kowalski's team, was my team, my pick for the team to win it all. So you're in tough.
So you're betting tough. Against me, is what you're saying.
Right out of the gate. From day one, I was betting against you, Paul, but it's nothing personal.
Oh, I'm taking it as everything personal.
All right.
So the CHL, London going to upset Erie in the second round?
No, I don't think so, man. I think Erie's going to be this year's version of London. I think they're going to steamroll right on through to the Memorial Cup.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, they won tonight. We're taping this on Thursday night. London beat Erie 2-0, and I think Tyler Parsons might steal that series. I picked Erie to win as well, but if anybody can do it, Tyler Parsons can steal a series, that's for sure.
He is the ultimate wild card, isn't he?
Yeah, and have you watched any other QMJHL or WHL action?
I've been trying to keep up with my local games. I went to a couple of Kingston Round 1 versus Hamilton games. Good hockey.
Nice. One other thing. Did you see the longest WHL game? Silvertips over the Royals?
No. I wish I had, though.
I watched from the second overtime to the end of the game. Ridiculous. Like 146 minutes of hockey was played that night.
Those kids must have been bagged.
Yeah. No, oh, 151, sorry. They beat the 146 minute mark. That was the old record. 151 minutes played. Carter Hart made 64 saves. On the other end, Griffin Outhouse, 72 shots. That's crazy.
Yeah. I hope Everett had a couple of days off before they had to hit the ice again.
No kidding, and it might affect their second round series, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the episode. We're going to talk prospect signings that recently happened. Let's start with Jake Walman. What do you think of Jake Walman, Peter?
All right, so he's been a prospect on the radar for a while now with the St. Louis Blues. He's a 2014 third round pick, and he's got a lot of fantasy upside because he's an offensive defenseman. But he's been playing in NCAA. He's 21 years old with Providence, and he's got good size at 6'1", 201 pounds. But he's only 19% Fantrax owned, so he's widely available, I would say, in a variety of leagues. So this is a guy who's definitely going to be playing pro next year. He's playing in the AHL right now. He's got two games under his belt so far, and he's got his first career professional goal. That's all he's got points-wise in his first two games. But he's a player, I think, that has a legitimate chance of winning a training camp roster spot with the Blues next year and starting his NHL career next year and delivering to your fantasy team right away. So if you're one of the lucky 19% that owns him, has been banking on him in your prospect bench, you're about to get paid off. And if he's available in your league, you can maybe look at scooping him up and adding him to your roster immediately.
Excellent. Now let's move on to John Hayden from Chicago. He signed recently. What do you think of his game?
All right. So here's a 22-year-old guy. He's been playing with Yale in the NCAA. He was their captain, and he's about the same as Wallman. He's only 20% owned in Fantrax, but he's got great size, 6'3", 223 pounds. He's playing in the NHL with the Hawks, and he's got 10 games under his belt with 4 points so far. So this is a kid who's getting his feet wet in the NHL, learning the ropes, playing his first pro games with a powerhouse team like the Hawks. So he's probably not, haven't looked it up, but I'm sure he's not getting maximum ice time minutes, and he still managed to produce 4 points. So here's a player who I think has got sneaky good value for you. Who's one of your guys?
Clayton Keller. I want to talk about. He's only played 3 games. He has 2 assists, 2 points. He's a -3, which is a given playing for Arizona. Not many guys have a plus on the Coyotes, so I wouldn't worry about that. He has got some power play time because he's got 1 power play point. He's 43% owned, so there's over half the leagues should be drafting this guy or should have them on the radar for next year, because Clayton Keller is not going anywhere. He's going to be an NHL player for the rest of his career. So definitely keep him on your radar for next year as well.
So here's another name for you to look at. I saw this guy playing for Team USA at the World Juniors, and I didn't really know much about him other than what I'd seen in scouting reports, but I really liked what I saw. Is Tag Thompson. He's 22% Fantrax owned. He's 19. He's another guy with size, 6'5", 201. And he's been playing NCAA last year with the University of Connecticut. 32 points in 34 games. He played, as I mentioned, for USA at the World Juniors, and he's got 5 points in 7 games there. Signed his pro contract with the Blues, and then signed a ATO. So he's playing in the AHL. He's been there for a while now, 11 games played. He's only got 1 goal and 1 assist, but he's only 19 years old, and the AHL is a really tough league. So this is a guy who I'm not predicting will play full-time and contribute massively for you in the NHL next year. He might have to spend some time cooking in the AHL, but he's got size, he skates really well, he's got a hell of a shot, and if he learns how to play mean, he'd just be a dominant player at the pro level in the NHL. So you might have to hold on to him on your prospect bench for a year, but Tag Thompson at 20% own is someone who I would absolutely look at.
Yeah, I'm gonna go on the same lines as the cook in the AHL, Luke Cunning from the Minnesota Wild. He went lights out his third game into the AHL. He signed his contract, played 2 games. His third game, he got a hat trick, and everybody blew up and thought this guy was gonna be the next great. 27% owned in Fantrax. It probably went up after that hat trick because it caught all the attention of everybody. I think he's going to take some time to grow in the AHL. I don't think he's going to be like a Keller or Jost or White or Besser, all those top guys. I think he's going to take a year or two to grow into a professional game and then become an NHL player. And if he makes the Wild a year or two down the road, it's going to be a great career for Cunning. So keep an eye out for him.
Okay. Who's the player you think will make an impact next year right away?
Brock Besser. From Vancouver Canucks. He's already making an impact this year. I'm pretty sure he played in his last NCAA game in the conference tournament. The next night after he got put out, he showed up and scored his first goal, NHL debut. 3 points in 6 games played, a game winner. He's had 17 shots in those 6 games, so the guy likes to shoot. He's 37% owned in Fantrax, so you're likely able to still pick him up. 2 goals, 1 assist for Besser. I really do think he's going to be the future with Bo Horvat, so make sure you grab Besser when you can.
Yeah, he's a stud. They're top prospect for sure. Another guy that's recently signed, and there was a little bit of drama about this, is Colin White with the Ottawa Senators. So it was reported by, I think it might have been Elliot Friedman, that Colin White eminently signing with the Ottawa Senators, and then it didn't happen for a few days. They had a bit of a standoff where he had agreed to turn pro and leave Boston College. But the Senators wanted him to sign an ATO, and play out the season in the AHL and not burn a year of his contract. And he was like, hell no, I won't go. I'm playing in the NHL. So they butted heads for a little bit, and eventually he signed his ATO, and he went to bingo, and he played 3 games, and he scored a goal, and then he had 2 assists for 3 points, point a game. And I guess that was enough to convince the Senators that, you know, okay, you're right. And they signed him to his NHL contract, and he played a game. He didn't score any points, and he's been used sparingly. So he was assistant captain with Team USA that just won the gold recently. He had 8 points in 7 games there, and he is a 20-year-old. So I'm not sure where he's going to fit next year. I would assume it would be with the Senators, but considering how they've been using him sort of sparingly and he hasn't had the NHL impact that he had in the AHL, I mean, this is all a very, very small sample size, and he'll have the whole summer to take what he's learned about what it takes to be a pro, what it's all about, and he'll have all those, you know, NHL jitters and nervousness. That'll all be gone. So he'll go into training camp next year with a great idea and understanding of what it's going to take to make the Senators. And I wouldn't put it past him to do just that. And he's only 35% Fantrax owned. So if you can get your fantasy roster hooks into Colin White, there's a player to go for. Back to you.
I think Colin White, maybe he's being used sparingly because Guy Boucher didn't like the whole way he butted heads with the organization, and maybe that's from the owner down, that they don't really want to give this kid the keys to the city type thing. So maybe that's why he's using sparingly, but he's also coming into a tough spot with Ottawa trying to fight for that last playoff spot. So that's a tough ask for a young kid to come into a team that's already hot into the playoffs.
That's a good point. You know, Besser and Keller and Jost, they're making their debuts on NHL teams that they're out. Yeah. So they've got nothing really to play for. So these kids, they can get the full ice time and the full look, and they can live and die by their mistakes, and it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. And speaking of Jost, I wouldn't get too scared of him not potentially being putting up points as well as Keller or Besser, but 3 games played, he's a -2, 6 shots on goal, no points to show for, but I think that has a lot to do with the Colorado Avalanche as a team, and hopefully he can help turn the Avalanche around. He is the future of the Colorado Avalanche, so that's why they thought of moving Matt Duchene and Gabriel Landeskog, because they have this kid, Tyson Jost, in the prospect cupboard, so I really think Jost is going to be the future of the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah, the Avalanche made it known that they were interested in blowing up the roster and trading stars like Matt Duchene and Gabriel Landeskog and just about everybody else with the exception of Nate MacKinnon and Tyson Jost.
Yeah, that's a big name to be and with. So, Jost is definitely one to look out for. Do you got one more guy playing in the A maybe?
I got two more, actually. Oh, nice. I know. I got a surprise player for you. So do your last guy, and then I'll do mine.
All right. I'm going with the most sought-after free agent, NCAA free agent, the Zach Aston-Reese sweepstakes. The Pittsburgh Penguins won it, and he showed up in Wilkes-Barre started his professional career. 7 points, 3 goals, 4 assists in 7 games played. That's pretty decent to start out your professional career. He's only 15% owned, so I know there was a lot of negative talk that, yeah, NCAA free agents don't normally make a big NHL career, but look at what Connor Sheary's done with the exact same organization. That's what Pittsburgh finds to play with Crosby and Malkin, and they look like they got Jake Guentzel and Sheary for Crosby, so maybe Zach Aston-Reese can move into a Evgeny Malkin linemate role, which would be incredible, or even a Phil Kessel linemate. So I think Aston-Reese has great potential. He's clearly not as high as the Jost and Keller and Besser, but I definitely think you should keep an eye on him. Put him on your watch list.
Yeah, you have to love the opportunity that he has. I mean, if he plays on the first line, he's got Crosby. If he plays on the second line, he's got Malkin. If he plays on the third line, he's got Kessel. I mean, what's not to like about that? And he's not going to play on the fourth line because he's not really a fourth line player. So it's top three or nothing for Reese. So yeah, I would endorse that as well. All right, so I got two players for you. one is kind of under the radar and one is kind of an obvious one. So the under the radar guy is Joe Gambardella. He is an undrafted free agent like Zach Aston-Reese. He signed with Edmonton. He's only 1.5% Fantrax owned. So nobody owns this guy. I think he's even available in our league, by the way. He's a little undersized at 5'10", but he's 201. So he's probably just one of those short but not small players. And he's 23 years old, so he's not a kid. So the wait time on him is going to be pretty short. He played for UMass Lowell this season in the NCAA, and he had 41 games played, and he had 52 points. And he's made his AHL debut, and in that one game, he's got a goal and assist for 2 points. So I'm not saying he's going to play on a line with Sidney Crosby and have a 60-point season, but at 1.5% owned, you can probably sign him as a free agent for nothing or draft him late in a prospect draft and kind of hope for found money with this guy. And the other guy who I can't believe we didn't talk about in our prep for the show is Charlie McAvoy, Boston Bruins first-round pick from 2016, 14th overall. He's 19 years old, 6'1", 212. And he's a one and done in college, just like Tyson Jost. And he played for Boston University as a defenseman. He had 26 points in 38 games, assistant captain of the gold medal world junior team with USA, 6 points in 7 games. And he was dominant on the ice and off the ice in that tournament. I watched him play in some beanpot games that were televised. And both times I've watched him play on TV in the world juniors and in the Beanpot tournament, he's been a really vocal player. He's a leader on and off the ice, by example, and you know, saying things like going into the third period of that World Junior gold medal game against Canada, like 20 minutes for the rest of our life, boys, let's go. This guy's going to be a great pro player, and I think he's going to be the next great Boston Bruin defenseman to inherit the mantle from Chara as soon as next year. I mean, this guy could have a rookie season like Zach Werenski and Shane Gostisbehere. So if he's available in your fantasy leagues, or if you can trade someone to get him to you on your roster, he's an absolute stud. All in on Charlie McAvoy for me.
Yeah, I definitely think Zdeno Chara is going to play one more year, and he's basically going to pass the baton to Charlie McAvoy. Like that's a pretty good transition, Chara to McAvoy. The Bruins won't be hurting on the back end, that's for sure.
Yeah. There's a whole bunch more players that we don't have time to get into, but, I mean, I'll just throw some names out at you. The listeners can do the research. Mike Vecchione is another player. He just signed to Philadelphia. He hasn't played a pro game yet, but I would say he was the second most coveted player, or maybe defenseman Gavin Bayreuther, who signed with the Dallas Stars. He's got 10 AHL games under his belt now, 2 points. Another defenseman, Tucker Poolman of the Winnipeg Jets. He's had a season-ending, I think it's a shoulder injury, but he's only 2.4% Fantrax owned, so he won't be playing any pro games throughout the balance of this season because he's had that shoulder injury. But the Jets have opportunity with development on their back end. They're heavy on prospects but thin on defense prospects. So Tucker Poolman is a player that has offensive upside and fantasy value, and he's in a really good situation with Winnipeg. Marcus Hogberg is a player we've spoken about a couple times on this podcast too, and he has got a lot of clicks on the Dauber prospect site. He's a Senators goalie prospect, and he's come over sooner than expected from Sweden, and he's only had one AHL game, and unfortunately he kind of got lit up pretty badly with 5 goals against in that one showing, but you know, just throw that out the window. It's his first game in North America, his first game in the AHL, probably had some jitters, whatever. He's only 12% Fantrax owned, but he is the future starting goalie for Ottawa. Dennis Chwalski, Jacob Fabaska-Carlson, there's two more players that have signed recently and are leaving college to turn pro. So there's a lot of players who will be in competition for the Calder Trophy next year that we just talked about here today. And they can all have an impact on your fantasy roster and all have fantasy value, either as trade assets or stat stuffers.
Yeah, and you mentioned Mike Vecchione, and he's part of the hat trick finalist for the Hobie Baker Award that's going to be announced Friday night at, I think, 6 p.m. Eastern time. So he's going up against Zach Aston-Reese and Will Butcher. So three really big names, and Mike Vecchione's definitely part of that group with Will Butcher and Aston-Reese.
Who do you think wins it?
I'm going to say Will Butcher. I really think Will Butcher is going to take it. He's been pretty solid on the back end for Denver.
And he's another interesting prospect, actually. We didn't talk about him because he hasn't signed with Colorado yet, I don't think. But he's played his 4 years of NCAA, so I'm wondering if this could end up becoming a free agent drama scenario like we had last summer with Jimmy Vesey.
All right, Peter, when we come back from the break, we're going to pick the brain of Justin Goldman, Mr. Goaltender Guru, and see what he has to say about goaltending and how to watch the goaltenders.
Welcome back to Dauber Prospects Radio. I'm Peter Harling, and I'm joined by Paul Zwambag, as always. And it's time to bring on our guest this week, who is none other than Dauber Hockey alumni, Justin Goldman of the Goalie Guild. Justin, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, man. What's going on? Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure to have you on. So if any of our listeners started paying close attention to Dauber after you were there, give us a quick bio for our listeners so they know who's talking.
Yeah, founder of the Goalie Guild, which is actually a nonprofit foundation. It's been a lot of different things, but that's where I'm at right now, starting to give back to underprivileged goalies in the United States, offering training scholarships, and then obviously doing a lot of my own mentoring and training and consulting with a lot of goalie parents and a lot of, you know, junior goalies or college goalies that are looking to take that next step to the pro level. It's been a crazy, crazy ride since I stopped writing for Dauber Hockey back in the day. I mean, I was with NHL.com for a few years. Then I transferred over to USA Hockey because I was living in Minnesota for a few years. Came back and started studying goalie development overseas in Finland and Sweden. Wrote a book about that experience and was lucky to meet the love of my life. And now my wife, met her in Finland about a year and a half ago, and we actually just got married a few months ago. So it has been nonstop globetrotting and, you know, just basically trying to help out USA Hockey with their new goalie development program that launched last year. And like I told you guys before this, every day I'm learning so much about the intricacies of the position, all of the new technology and techniques that are being thrown into the mix, the way the game is changing, the way that kids develop, the way that goalies develop specifically, and a whole slew of other things that have to do with, you know, basically the science of goaltending. So it's been a great ride. I've definitely learned a lot, and I'm excited to see kind of how the future unfolds with goaltending at the NHL level over the next few years.
All right. Let's see if we can impart some of your wisdom on to ourselves and our listeners. So let's get right into the hockey talk. You're involved in training and coaching and mentoring some goalies. And the first goalie I want to talk to you about is one that's available for the upcoming draft. He's on a lot of people's draft watch list, and that would be Jake Oettinger. Tell us a little bit about Jake.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, the kid is very stoic, and he's very composed, and he's very intelligent. For his age, one thing to keep in mind as he heads into his draft year is he's a late birth year. So I think that's really benefited him because wherever he's gone, he's actually been playing up. And I can go back to the first time that I saw Jake play, which was at Lakeville North in Minnesota. And he seemed so young at the time and so inexperienced for a freshman playing at a big school right there in the Twin Cities. But every game, he was lights out and he was composed, and he had a team in front of him that really fed off of that and had a very successful season. And the numbers are very glaring too. I mean, he stopped a lot of pucks, and from there, I mean, his trip to the top 40 USA tryout camp, when he made, you know, the U-17s for the NTDP, I mean, just always looked like he was control, always looked like he was composed. And I think he's mature beyond his years. So at every level he's played at over the last 6-7 years, he's been extremely good. And you're seeing it this year with Boston University. The numbers are very good. I think he's got like close to a 930 save percentage. And obviously, you know, he's had a few tough games. But overall, I mean, there's a reason why he's touted as one of the top goalies available. And he's got everything you need to be a very successful long-term pro goaltender. Obviously, there's still so many things that he can continue to work on, but he's the complete package. But I think the most valuable skill that he has is his composure. And you see it on the ice. You see it in his body language. You see it when you talk to him off the ice. It's a very consistent trait of his. He's always had this trait ever since the first day that I met him. And every single scout or coach that I talk to says the same exact thing. So when I think you have that type of consistency, when you read the scouting report and you see it everywhere, and you know, again, whether you're reading it somewhere, you're seeing it yourself when he plays, it's going to continue to trend in that direction throughout his pro career. So I think this is a guy that I would love to own in a keeper league. It's pretty straightforward. I guess there's not a lot of room for interpretation. He's a very solid, good goaltender.
All right. And two more guys that you've worked with that you talked to me about offline, and I'm not going to lie, I don't really know anything about these guys, is Dayton Rasmussen and Ryan Enquist. What can you tell me about these guys? How fantasy relevant are they?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with Dayton just because it's another kid that I've gotten to know over the years. And I'm going to paint the picture for you really quick. So every year for the NTDP, we select 6 goaltenders to go and try out for, you know, the U-17 team. The year that I was scouting with the NTDP in Minnesota, I was basically spending 90% of my time on 3 guys: Jake Ottinger, who we just talked about, Dayton Rasmussen, and then Ryan Edquist, who was at Shattuck St. Mary. Dayton Rasmussen had a very interesting freshman year. He was, you know, obviously it was his first year. He was playing behind a senior, played extremely well in the handful of games that he got into in Minnesota for Holy Family Catholic. And then all of a sudden in the second half, he basically rode the pine. He hardly played at all. This is a situation that arises in Minnesota. I mean, the teams there, it's all about winning a state championship, and they're pretty loyal to their juniors and seniors. So, you know, kind of the same thing with Jake Ottinger. Didn't probably play as much as you would have thought for the talent that he had. That was the situation with Dayton. But it was very clear that he was one of the top goalies available in the country for the U-17s. And he came to tryout camp. He did extremely well. But when you had Jake Ottinger and Joseph Wohl as your two top guys, it's really hard to break that. And, you know, he was able to kind of transition out of Minnesota, come down here to Colorado, actually, and play for the Thunderbirds, which is, you know, one of the top U16 and U18 programs in the country, and played a lot more games, got his commitment to DU, which I think really benefits his long-term future just because of the program here. DU, obviously, in the Frozen Four, and has a very good track record of pro goaltenders all the way back to Adam Burkle and Peter Menino. So the thing right there, you just have to understand, even though he didn't make the U-17s, he is maybe a little bit overshadowed by some of the other top U.S. goalies available, like Jake Ottinger and Joseph Wohl, who's already been drafted. Dayton Rasmussen he's a beast in the net. I mean, he fills the net extremely well. He's got the size. When he came to the top 40 tryout, he tested better than every other player that tried out, not just the other 5 goalies, but every single player. His body mass, his muscle mass, his body composure, or his body construction, excuse me. Like, the guy's an animal. and he plays the part on the ice. I mean, really strong in the net, great footwork, great positioning, quiet, but also very dynamic. And I think DU has a really good goalie, maybe could be one of the best goalies they've ever had once he goes to school there. So, yeah, he's overshadowed, but, man, he's going to be really good. And I'm going to be honest with you guys, when it came time to choose the goalies for the U17 team that year, I really thought Dayton should have been one of the two guys. No, it wasn't the wrong decision to go with Ottinger and Wohl. They were clearly the two best goalies there, but I just love Dayton's upside. I think he's more of a long-term prospect. But again, like you talk about with Ottinger, the complete package, I think he's just a little bit slower on that track to being a full-time starting goalie, or at least having an opportunity to claim that role. But I think he's going to be a really good one, and I'm a big fan of his.
Excellent. Do you have any goalies who could make a significant jump to the NHL next year, perhaps an off-the-radar goalie?
In terms of the AHL, like guys that are like really close but just not making it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I think that Thatcher Demko is right there. I know he's not an off-the-radar guy, but, yeah, that's a tough one. That's a good question. Yeah, Thatcher Demko comes to mind right away. So I really like him as well. I mean, that's obvious to say as well. He's one of the top prospects in the AHL. Yeah, that's all I got on that one.
Makes sense, because Ryan Miller's going to be moving out with the UFA, so he's going to get some ice time, and he'll probably fight a good spot for starts. So, yeah, I agree. Thatcher Demko is probably a good pick. In terms of fantasy hockey and dynasty leagues, how long should you hold on to a goalie for? Is there like a given age where you should move on with a goalie prospect? Or
yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think 2 or 3 years, if you're paying close attention to the system and environment that he's in, I'd say 3 years is a good enough indication of, you know, where a guy is trending. So many things can happen, though, you know, so I think it's really tough. I think you have to kind of gauge every single goaltender situation and try to get the best grasp of where he's at, age, everything that goes into making those decisions. But if you're holding on to a guy for 3 years and you're not happy with where he's at, I mean, there's so many guys now. There's so many guys, so many good goalies, so many good prospects. The European influx is still a thing. I don't see why you would ever want to go beyond 3 years. That's my opinion. There's so many different ways you can slice it, especially when it comes to managing goaltenders, because they do develop later on. There are studs that come in very quickly, like Andre Vasilevsky. He's a great example. But at the same time, you have your first rounders that seem to get stuck, like Malcolm Subban, who was also drafted in a first round a few years ago. So, I mean, this is the thing that I would always go back to with Dauber. He taught me something very, very valuable when it came to keeper leagues and dynasty leagues with goaltenders, is that the politics play a huge role. I mean, if a team drafts a goaltender in the first round, they're going to give him every single opportunity to make do and to live up to those expectations. If you draft a goalie in the fourth or the fifth round, man, NHL teams can find those guys anywhere. So they're not going to get the opportunities. They're not going to get the looks. They're not going to have the big name, the buzz around them, or you know, the game, the workload, wherever they're playing. So that's something to really keep in mind, and something I always kind of fall back on when I'm looking at these situations, because anything can happen at any given moment. A lot of goalies in the AHL, a lot of goalies in the ECHL, they don't get those opportunities until there's an injury, and injuries pop up so randomly over the course of the season. So you don't see a lot of guys get that call up just based on merit alone. I mean, Thatcher Demko can have the best numbers he wants, but he's not getting called up to play NHL games over the course of the season unless there's an injury. It's just, that's just the way it goes. So that's what makes it so interesting for these type of questions. Anything can happen at any given time, but I'll still kind of stick to that 3-year mark when it comes to answering that question.
All right, let's talk a little bit of scouting goalies for a sec. Something I've a trend that's been really evident in hockey lately is with the skaters up front, size is becoming less important. It used to be big guys, and now it's small skilled guys. And it's the exact opposite in goal. No more Alan Besters. Now it's all about being like, a goalie that's 6 feet tall is considered small. How much stock is there in height for goalies?
I guess that depends on perspective. I mean, size matters if you're an NHL GM, and size obviously matters if you're a coach, because there's merit to how much space you fill depending on where the puck is on the ice. But one of the big things that I look at is obviously just overall development. So I'm not an NHL GM. I'm a goalie scout. I'm looking at kids that are between the ages of 15 and 18 and trying to see if they have the skill set and the mindset to eventually become pro goalies if they get that opportunity. So to me, size doesn't matter. I mean, I see kids like Dylan St. Cyr, for example, again, another USA Hockey goalie, and I'm always going to bring these guys up because these are the guys that I'm focusing on and who I'm working with. But I mean, the kid is tiny, but he fills the net because he has a very good understanding of his angles, depth, and positioning, and he handles the puck like a rock star. So when you have those traits, I mean, who's to say he doesn't have the ability to stop pucks at the pro level? He's definitely going to have the ability to do that. Is he going to get the opportunity? I don't think so, because an NHL GM, why are you going to draft a guy that's his size when it's going to take him 5 years to become a pro goalie, no matter how good he is? And by that time, the average height of NHL goalies has gone up 1 or 2 inches. So you can see the dilemma here. It's a vicious cycle. And eventually it's going to reach a plateau. I mean, you're not going to have 8 foot goalies in the NHL just because it's trending that way. But what I think you are going to see is you're going to see goalie coaches continue this trend that I've seen over the last year, where they're starting to realize that smaller goalies can be so effective if they really pay attention to where their feet are positioned and how they're filling the net. And there's a couple of different technical terms for that. One of them is called box control. Box control is literally seeing the puck from its perspective and filling as much space as possible. So smaller goalies actually fill the net extremely well when the puck is in tight. And it's that understanding and that concept that is really starting to take over goaltending right now, besides the head trajectory stuff, which I'm not even going to get into, so that's getting too detailed. But the box control stuff and just putting more emphasis on your positioning and how you fill the net when the puck's in different positions, smaller goalies are becoming way more effective. And I mean, Alex Stalock, we've seen the guys have some success at the NHL level. Jonas Enroth's another one. Jonathan Quick's a smaller goalie now. So they're definitely effective, but whether or not they get opportunities, that's always going to depend on the system that he's in or how he's kind of maneuvering through juniors in the minor leagues. So that's kind of how I would break that down. I don't know if you want some more insight on that for like specifically NHL goalies, but that's kind of how I view it in terms of the size situation.
All right. No, I think that's pretty good. If you get too technical, I'll just get confused. So for me, the most important skill for a goalie is his mental game. Is that a statement that you would agree with? And how can you scout that?
You really can't, but you can get to know people. And when you get to know goalies, I mean, hockey is not a pucks game. It's a people game. And you're dealing with people. You're dealing with human beings. And that's never been more prevalent than what I've seen in NHL goaltenders or goalies at any level. I mean, you're dealing with a human being. So no matter how good you are at analyzing the statistics or creating new ways to predict what goaltenders might do on the ice, it does matter, but ultimately what matters more is what's going on between the ears. And this is why for me, what I've taken it upon myself. I mean, look, guys, I study goaltending, the technical stuff for years and years and years. I still do it. I'm on the ice with NHL goaltenders every summer. I see how technical it is now, but I also see the human element, and I see how these guys have to process what they go through every single day of their lives in order to be as consistent as possible and to be open-minded to these new techniques and the ways that the position is changing. But if you don't consider that X factor when you're making your fantasy hockey decisions, you're missing half the battle. I'm not saying that you're going to be able to answer them or that it's going to make any sense, because believe me, it doesn't make sense. I see stuff that's just crazy and it doesn't make any sense to me, and there's no rhyme or reason, and there's no point in even figuring it out because you're not going to find an answer. So you focus on what you can control and you focus on what you can learn. And yes, that is the numbers and that's the shot patterns and the rebound patterns and all the crazy head trajectory stuff and the angles and the positioning and the technique. But you always have to keep in the back of your mind that these are human beings, and human beings do crazy things. They do amazing things, but they also do stupid things that screw up their careers. So there's always an X factor. And that's why I just say, like, scouting goalies, honestly, is kind of stupid. You can do it to a point, but you're never going to find that golden recipe that's going to give you all the answers. So you choose where you kind of decide to, you know, put your eggs into whichever basket you want. I mean, what matters more to me now is not what mattered more to me a couple years ago when I was scouting goalies on a daily basis. You know what I mean? And I'm still learning stuff about how decisions are made at the NHL level, how goalies respond to different things that happen in their career that's out of their control, like injuries or losing their spot as a starter. I mean, Jimmy Howard's a perfect example. I'll tell this story as quickly as possible because I know I'm talking your guys' ears off. But basically, he came to this NHL goalie camp in Madison 2 years ago. And, you know, he was under pressure from Peter Mrazek to, you know, kind of keep his spot. And Peter is a brilliant young goaltender. He's going to be very good for a very long time. But Jimmy Howard's pretty darn good, too. I mean, he's been pretty consistent, albeit, you know, maybe not a fantasy stud all the time, but a very consistent goaltender in the NHL for a guy who is never, you know, super highly touted. Worked his way into the league and continued to fight for his job. And during the off season, he puts in all this extra time to kind of, you know, tweak some areas of his game. And yeah, the injuries really sucked this year, but man, he's worked so hard on his game and people aren't seeing that at all. And look at how good he's been when he's been healthy this season or over the last, you know, year and a half. So there's just so many things that are happening behind the scenes that make it really, really tough to know exactly what's going on, but you do the best you can. And you always, always, always have to remember that these guys are human beings and they react to quote unquote different stimuli in different ways. And that's what makes it fun, right? You never really know what's going to happen. You never really know who's coming around the corner, but you do the best you can. And all the additional information that's out there now, it definitely helps. I mean, it really does help. But at the end of the day, it's really hard to find a lot of good answers.
All right. So I'm in, Paul and I are in a league. It's a deep league. There's about 20 some teams with full prospect bench. So we go pretty deep. And we watch a lot of junior hockey and AHL hockey. When we're looking at goalies, what are a couple of like the basic things we should look at when we're scouting for our fantasy team?
Yeah, good question. All right, that's a good question. Okay, I'm going to go with more, you know, I just rattled off a whole bunch of stuff about the mind and how tough that aspect is. I'm going to stick to what I see on the ice. You guys are watching a lot of junior hockey, so you're seeing a lot of really good athletes. But footwork is so important these days. And it's not the flashy kick saves or how fast they're transitioning from one edge to the other. It's control. So controlled footwork. Put that at the top of your list. Guys that can get from point A to point B, wherever those two points are, as crisply and as efficiently and as quote-unquote quietly as possible, as they continue to progress and play against good talent and work their way up, that foundation of very good, sharp footwork is what's going to allow them to have success and do the things they need to do to stop the puck no matter what the situation is. Okay? So footwork is first. Second, I'm going to go with tracking. And I only say that as second. It may be a more important skill. Your eyes are probably more important than your feet. But tracking comes second because there's so much stuff out there right now about this head trajectory that it's getting almost harder and more complicated to know when a kid is tracking well and when he's not. But essentially at the end of the day, I mean, how well does the kid keep his eye on the puck? That's what it comes down to. I mean, if you see it, you're going to stop it. And if you don't see it for a split second because there's a screen in front and you're managing traffic on a penalty kill, how good are you at finding it as quickly as possible and reattaching your eyes to the puck? So if you have really good, quiet, controlled footwork and you have really good eyes and you're tracking the puck, if you're an athlete and you're playing at the top junior level anywhere in the world, you're going to have success and you're going to be worthy of being scouted by goalie coaches around the world. So I would say those two things are first and foremost. The third thing I'll say, and I know this is super generic and I know it kind of falls into that pop psychology realm, but body language. You know, goaltenders are very unique in the sense that yes, they are a man on an island and they're wearing a mask and they're kind of unique because of their gear, but they have egos. Goalies have egos. I mean, they are the last line of defense. They are the most important position in hockey. And kids that walk the fine line between cocky and confident, but also realize that they're the backbone of a team and they have to lead by example and lead with stoic, good, composed body language on and off the ice, that plays a huge role. And I know it's not necessarily a legitimate skill that you can track and analyze, but every coach that does his job well is paying attention to a goalie's body language, whether it's in practice, off the ice, on the ice, in games, whatever the case may be. If you don't have it, you're not going to have success. It's that simple. And I preach this to kids all the time because I've seen it at every single level for years. So I would say those three things. I'll be a little bit more specific with the body language thing in games. How do they react when they give up a goal? How do they react when a game goes from the first gear to the fourth gear? So the momentum shifts, coaching decisions, penalty kills, anytime there's a pressure-based situation in a game, does the goalie continue to stay composed, relaxed, and in control of his game and his movements? That would be more specific on the body language side of things. So I would say those three things right there probably constitute a good chunk of what I'm looking for. And then everything kind of falls into place around that in terms of their technique. Decision-making is always huge because I honestly think goalies that move the puck are going to continue to have a huge advantage. And moving the puck for a goaltender isn't about how good their hands are. It's actually more about how good their feet are because they have to be able to go from a standing position in front of their net, tracking a puck to, holy crap, I got to get behind the net, control this puck, turn, look up the ice, and make a good pass in a split second. So the feet is a huge key, again, not only the controlled movement part, but getting two pucks, making good passes, and helping your team transition because transitioning is huge, as we all know. And if a goalie can help with that, he's going to get more looks. He's going to get notes in the paper there for the scouts, and it's going to definitely boost his value heading into his future.
All right. That is some good tips. Goalies are voodoo to me. So this has been really informative.
Oh man, they're voodoo for me too. I mean, that's the awesome part about it though. I mean, you're either going to be wrong or you're going to be right. I mean, it's always kind of 50-50. There's so many gray areas and the voodoo part. I mean, I hear that all the time and I hate that term because it's no different for me just because I'm a goalie. I mean, look, I'm from Texas and I never played pro hockey in my life, but I'm not afraid to try and learn. And I'm not afraid to, you know, explain some of the things that I've learned or what I see and just put the information out there. Cause that's the only way you're going to get better is if you share that information and other guys pick up on it. And, you know, either they think you're stupid, which happens half the time, or they think you're smart. And that happens sometimes too. So you got to take it upon yourself to be like, yeah, it's voodoo. I'm cool with that. I'm okay with it. You know, I'm going to get some stuff right and I'm going to get some stuff wrong. But at the end of the day, that's how you get better, right? So, yeah, it's all good, man. Voodoo's okay.
True, true. All right. Justin, why don't you, if everyone enjoyed listening to you educate us on goalies, tell us where we can find you on Twitter and maybe pick up some of your books.
Yeah, Twitter is just at the Goalie Guild. Again, you're not going to see the scouting stuff anymore just because the relationships I have with USA Hockey and stuff like that. But The nonprofit foundation I run does a lot of good for goalies that don't get opportunities to play or train. My books are all available on Amazon. I've got 3 out right now, so you can either search my name or just search one of the titles. And the 4th one is actually going to be out in June or late May. It's actually geared more towards younger kids. But, yeah, they're up on Amazon. And again, like it's been a wild ride, but I appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity to kind of catch up with Dobber Nation there. That was a very important time in my life. I'm very grateful to Dobber and his staff for everything he did for me to give me that opportunity. And hopefully it's some good content for your listeners.
Absolutely it is. Thanks so much for your time. Paul, do you have any last quick questions?
No, I will be going to buy one of your books, probably The Power Within. I think I'll start there.
Yeah, start there. That's actually the first one. And then Embracing the Grind is the one that just came out a couple months ago. The big book, the Between Two Worlds book, that's more goalie development. So that's a pretty informative read too. And then the new one coming out will be out in a couple months. But thank you guys so much. This was a lot of fun.
Absolutely, our pleasure. Thanks for coming on, bud.
A lot of great information on a very difficult position to scout. Justin Goldman is the man when it comes to goaltending. Be sure to follow him on Twitter at The Goalie Guild. And again, you can find his books on Amazon. Embracing the Grind, The Power Within, and Between Two Worlds. I just want to take a few minutes to plug my Vegas Golden Knights mock expansion draft. I've tweeted the link out, and it will also be on our show notes found at dobberprospects.com, or just find it in the features section on Dobber Prospects. The protected lists were collaborated with the help from many of our scouts and writers that are covering those specific teams. In the article, you will see their decisions on what players they think should be protected. And then I get into the mock draft and what the team I drafted would look like and why I made some of the decisions I made. Feel free to leave comments and reach out to me on Twitter to ask why I made certain moves. I will be happy to let you know my thought process. Alright, we can't forget to thank you, the listener, for tuning in as well and giving us a review. If you haven't done a review yet, please take a few seconds to rate and review us. You wouldn't believe how much a few great reviews will do for our listenership. Please make sure to give us a follow on Twitter at @DPR_show. We post other podcasts that may be helpful, some ideas for better scouting, some other scouts we enjoy following, basically anything to do with scouting, prospects, and fantasy hockey. You can also follow or tweet our personal accounts at @Zwombeg and @PHarling. That's it for now. Talk to you soon, Peter.
Cheers.